Sing praises to the Lord, O you, his faithful ones, and give thanks to his holy name, for his anger is but for a moment, his favor for a lifetime. We definitely have reason to rejoice in our Savior Jesus Christ, and I'm glad that you're here so that we can do that together. Welcome to each and every one of you. If you look in the back of the bulletin, you'll see some announcements, but one that is not there, you're just going to have to remember this. But we support CISC with dollars and volunteers. But on Tuesday, if you go to Whataburger with two cans of food, any kind, two cans, you get a free burger, any of the Whataburgers here in town. So that's this Tuesday. Is that just in the evening? From 5 o'clock on in the evening, go there with two cans and you can get a burger. Do pray for Gladys Swanson as well. She's gone to camp to be a counselor for a week. So for her courage and her willingness to serve, keep her in your prayers. Today, too, we have an opportunity. The green envelopes in the pews can be used for the Seafarers Ministry. You know, the Presbyterian Church has ministers there in the Port of Galveston and Port Arthur who witness to the many people that come off those ships each and every day and lead worship for all those sailors that have been out at sea. If you want to give to that, you can see the announcement that is there in the bulletin about the Seafarer Ministry. Also, there's an insert for nominations. If you want to nominate people for elder, please just write the names on there and drop it in the offertory plate or just leave it, come by the church office. We also need you to nominate someone for treasurer. So if you would keep that in your prayers and if God leads you to a name, let us know because we need to hear from you on that. Because we do have peace with God, it is good that we share that peace with one another. So if you will, turn to those sitting close to you and also get up and go see those people sitting far away. But welcome one another in the peace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. May the peace of Christ be with you all. As you're getting into your seat, if you will, please join me in our call to worship. Seek refuge in God. Seek refuge in God. Seek refuge in God. In the presence of the faithful, we proclaim God's holy name. Let us pray. Immortal, invisible God, reveal yourself to us this morning. As we come into your presence and we seek to hear your word, we ask that you would show us, reveal to us the truth of your love. We have wandered far and wide, but here we sit at your feet this morning, listening with hope and awe. And as we do, we ask that you would bring us near to you through your grace as you shower us with your mercy. Feed our hunger for righteousness, satisfy our thirst for justice, nurture us with your truth, and challenge us with your call to spread love and peace in all the world as we offer our lives to you. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As you know, in July we give the choir a break And so what we're going to do is do our hymns by request. Bill, you were quick, so what do you got? 403, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Let's stand and sing 403. Take one more if somebody, okay. 464. Let's turn to hymn number 464. Let's see how many verses there are on that one. 464. Oh, that's, let's do all three.
Thank you.
be seated.
Our God is fully and entirely devoted to us, no matter what. Sadly, we, like lost sheep, can go astray. Admitting this, we need to return to Christ Jesus, our shepherd, knowing he welcomes us always back into the fold. As we confess our sin, using the prayer of confession in your bulletin, let us be reminded to follow Jesus wherever he leads. Let us confess together. Patient Lord, we schedule our lives down to the very second. We crowd in as much activity as we can. We often leave no room for you. We then wonder why we are so tired and stressed. Forgive us for being so caught up in our own planning that we miss the great opportunity to sit at your feet, learning, listening, growing in your own faith. Help us to truly place ourselves in your care. Slow us down just a bit so that we can see the wonders you have placed before us and truly share the blessings you have given us. Amen.
Children of God, hear the good news which announces to the whole world that in Christ we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace that he lavished on us all. Know that thanks be to Jesus Christ, you are indeed forgiven, and be at peace. And may this news of God's forgiveness, of his present mercy, be something that brings us to our feet in joy. Let us thank God as we stand together and sing the Gloria Patri. We do have opportunity to continue offering ourselves to the Lord, and let us do so knowing that freely we have received, and so freely we should give. With that in mind, let us bring forth our offerings.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we bring this offering today and every day in hopes of returning to you some of the generous blessings we have received. Thank you for your presence in our lives. As we dedicate ourselves to you, may we make it a personal mission to invite and encourage others to accept the peace you so freely offer. In his name, amen.
Amen. You may be seated, unless you're one of our young people that's here. I'd love it if any of our young people want to come on up. Well, thank y'all for coming up. As usual, I got something I want to share with y'all. I'm going to play a song. I don't know if you guys would know this or not. And I'm actually going to show you, it'll be on a video, so y'all can watch it together. And if you know who it is, I'll give you a chance to say so in just a moment. Here we go. Have y'all ever heard this? Y'all know who that was? Yeah, Fred Rogers. He had a TV show on for years. All us old people know who he was. He was on TV for years. He had millions of people that watched his show, and it was called Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. And you know what he wanted to teach people? It's what he sang in the song. Did you hear how, "Won't you be mine? Won't you be my what?
Neighbor."
That's right. Won't you be my neighbor? His goal was to teach us how to be neighbors. And he did a really good job of that because his TV show was on for years. And I don't know if y'all know this. He actually did not like the children's programming that he saw on TV. And so he went into the TV business because he wanted to do it better. But he didn't like TV, but that is why he went on it. He wanted to try and see if he could improve it. Well, you know what? The issue of neighbors is pretty important because in the Bible, in Luke's gospel, in chapter 10, this guy, he's a lawyer. He comes up to Jesus and he says, "Jesus, you know, what do I need to do to satisfy God?" And Jesus says in Luke 10, he says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind." And even though Jesus didn't know Mr. Rogers, he said, "Love your neighbor as yourself." Well, like I said, you know, Mr. Rogers was famous for singing, "Won't you be my neighbor? Won't you please be my neighbor?" Well, Jesus didn't sing. Instead, he told a story to this lawyer. And what he said is, when the lawyer asked Jesus, "How do I get eternal life?" he told this story. A man went down the road, and while he was traveling, he was met by robbers. Do y'all remember this story from Vacation Bible School? The man was beat up by the robbers. And they took his money and they left him on the side of the road all hurt. And a priest came by. And a priest came by and went on the other side of the road so that he could avoid the man that was hurt. Can you believe that? Didn't help him at all. Well, another person comes by. And this guy that came by was a Levite. He was a religious person who went to church. And guess what? He went by on the other side of the road because, man, this guy over here must have gotten beat up. And I don't want to get involved in his problems. So he went on. And then a Samaritan, which is a person from Samaria, comes along. He sees the wounded guy. And you know what he does? He stops and he checks on him. He not only checks on him, he bandages up his wounds. He puts the man on his own donkey. That meant he had to walk the rest of the way while the hurt man got to ride the donkey. And when they got into the town, the Samaritan left him at a hotel. And he gave the manager of the hotel money. And he said, I want you to take care of this fellow for me. And if you have any more expenses for him, I'm going to be back in a few days. And I'll give you even more money. Just see to it that he's taken care of. So the man from Samaria was really, really a good guy. Well, Jesus told that story and he said, who do you think was being a neighbor? Was it the priest, the Levite, or was it the guy from Samaria? It was the Samaritan. He knew how to help his fellow man and woman. The reason I tell you this is the world today is full of people who desperately need a neighbor. Jesus tried to awaken us to that idea. Mr. Rogers, picking up on Jesus' teaching, tried to teach it to us. But there's people that might be hurting. There's people that might be lonely and need a friend. People might be depressed and they need someone to come and encourage them. There may be somebody that's just tired and they need somebody to come help them with their work. Point is, we don't have to look very far to find a neighbor. They really are all around. So this morning, I want to challenge you. Starting today, as you go through your week, do you think you could find somebody you could be a neighbor to? Because you know what? If we do find somebody we can be a neighbor to, it makes God's love known in the world. So look for somebody who might be in need and see if you can come alongside and help them. Do you think y'all can commit to that this week? Good. Well, let's pray. Let's ask God to help us all be neighbors. Let's pray. God, help us to go and do the same. That when we see someone in need, if we see someone in distress, if we see someone that needs help, help us to show compassion, not just with our words, but in our actions. May we be a people who really make your love known as we seek to help others that are all around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks for letting me share with you about Mr. Rogers' neighborhood and about loving your neighbor. Y'all give them a round of applause for coming on up here. Thank you, Lillian. You did really good. You didn't have to chase her today. That's great. All right. Next, Tim, by request. And it's not going to be Mr. Rogers' theme song. Mary Kay, what do you got? 339. Hymn 339. Let's stand and see if we can sing hymn 339. in, so thank you for choosing it. Y'all may be seated.
This morning we will hear the familiar calling of Abram to leave his hometown and go to a country of God's providing. What is interesting is Abram was wise enough to follow God rather than stay put at home. He was wise enough to follow where God guided. Life is a journey to be made by faith. Like Abram, may we trust the Lord to lead. I will be reading from Genesis 12, 1 through 9. It's found on page 10 in your pew Bible if you'd like to follow along. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Abram took his wife Sarai and his brother's son Lot and all the possessions that they had gathered and the persons whom they had acquired in Haran, and they set forth to go to the land of Canaan. When they had come to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he moved on to the hill country on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and invoked the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed on by stages toward the Negev. This is the word of the Lord.
Exchange it someday for all. riches someday. For crown.
Thank you, Cynthia. That was beautiful. You know, we've been looking at our response to the resurrection of Jesus Christ and how that incredible event and the wonderful message it brings is something that we are to take out into the world. But this morning, we're going to look at not what Jesus did, but more of who he is. And as Paul writes to the church in Colossae, he's trying to get them to understand this person to whom they not only proclaim but are called into relationship with. And so I'm going to read Colossians 1 beginning in verse 15, page 200, if you'd like to follow along. But may God bless the reading and the hearing of his holy word. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers, all things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He's the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. And you who were once estranged and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his fleshly body through death, so as to present you holy and blameless and irreproachable before him, provided that you continue securely established and steadfast in the faith, without shifting from the hope promised by the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven. I, Paul, became a servant of this gospel. This is the word of the Lord, no, the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Mary read to you a minute ago from Genesis 12. The Lord said to Abraham, "Leave your country, your people, your father's household, and go to the land that I will show you." Verse 4 says, "So Abram left, as the Lord told him, and Lot went with him." Simple verse, but it says something rather profound. Do you know what made Abram become such a great hero of faith? You see, Abram didn't know the way, but he knew the guide. He didn't know exactly where he'd end up, and he didn't know exactly what he'd encounter along the way, but he knew the guide. He didn't know where the land was. He certainly didn't have a map or GPS, but he trusted God to show him. The reason he knew where to travel is because he knew to follow the one that was calling him. And I want you to think about this as he left Haran. Doesn't know where it is God's going to have him end up. Doesn't know what he's going to encounter along the way. So that meant each step was a step of faith, trusting that God would show where to go and provide along the way. And that was the beginning of his faith. That's significant for us today. We journey through life. And there's constant and rapid changes taking place in our world all the time. Our culture seems to reinvent itself almost overnight. We have over 30 news or opinion news stations on TV. And we also have an internet where anyone can post a convincing argument on just about anything. And so today, as we make our journey, knowing what is truth, knowing what is the way, can be rather difficult. As we face each day, we often find ourselves wondering, you know, I wonder what tomorrow's going to look like. And just like Abram, we need direction. We need direction for our relationships. We need direction for our finances, our schedules, our priorities. You name it, we so often need direction. Because when we make our journey through life, we often find ourselves thinking, how shall I navigate? Well, if Paul were with us today, Paul who wrote the letter to the church, to the Colossian church, he would say, turn to Jesus. Turn to Jesus Christ, the head of the church. Look to him for guidance. Paul would have us look to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, because Jesus is the one who is most qualified to lead the way. Jesus is more than qualified. Verse 15 says, and describes him as the image of the invisible God. And I don't always get into the original language, but here the vocabulary, I think, is really telling. The word in the Greek for image is icon. Paul is using a word, icon, image, that is defined as an exact representation that is revealed. So in other words, what the scriptures are saying is Jesus is where representation and manifestation merge together. The invisible God is made perfectly visible in this human being named Jesus the Christ. Hebrews 1:3 affirms this truth using the word icon when it declares, the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful word. But back to what we read in Colossians in verse 19. It adds greater power to this idea of Jesus being the exact representation that reveals God when it says this. For God was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Him. Two other very important words are again used, fullness and dwell. In the original language, fullness means that the sum total of all the divine power and all the divine attributes were found in Christ. All that was in God is found in Christ. And the word dwell means more than just reside. It means to reside permanently. So someone asked why we think Jesus was both fully human and fully God. This verse, verse 19, in its original meaning, is saying that this man Jesus, in him, all of God permanently resided. And this is why I think Jesus so often told his followers, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. The Father and I, you see, are one. The Father and I are one. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. That's pretty an outlandish claim. Jesus was either out of his mind, a bit delusional and needing medication, or he was right. But Jesus does have on his resume, in human history, the resurrection from the dead, in which many people were witness to. No one else has that claim and the evidence around it. So, if you want to remove Jesus as the perfect guide for your life, the best way to do it is to debunk the resurrection and remove that incredible Easter declaration we make every year, He is risen. Take that from the voice of the church, and maybe you could find a better guide. Okay, so we got Jesus. He's the perfect image of God. You may already know that, and hopefully you already believe that. It means you now look to Him if you want to know God. But think about this further. If you recall the final act of God in creation back in Genesis when God was making everything, do you remember the last thing God did? He said, "Let us make man in our image." So God ends the formation of creation by making humans in His image. Men and women were meant to be God's image, God's representation in and among creation. But as we know from the continuation of the Genesis account, sin came onto the scene and man and woman never achieved their destiny. They turned to themselves rather than their guide because they unwisely believed that they could be like God and handle everything on their own. If we're going to be honest about human history, maybe even honest about ourselves, we need to admit from what we've learned back there in Genesis and our own experience that when humanity is left to itself, it has never achieved its divine destiny. It has never been able to live as the image of God in the world. The good news is that because this human being we know as Jesus Christ is God, He's able to do more than any other human could ever possibly do, which is reconcile lost sinners to a holy God. And if we can't save ourselves, then the initiative has to come from God. And the wonderful truth that God did take this initiative in Jesus Christ is laid out before us here in Colossians chapter 1, verse 20 through 23. And it says, "Through Him, God was pleased to reconcile to Himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of His cross. And you who were once estranged and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, He is now reconciled in His fleshly body through death, so as to present you holy and blameless and irreproachable before Him, provided that you continue securely established and steadfast in the faith, without shifting from the hope promised by the gospel that you heard." And it goes on. The reason I've tried to explain this and why it's important, and a great reason why Jesus should be the head, the guide, the leader, the director, the one in charge of all that we think, say, and do, is because in Jesus we not only see what God is, but we see what we're supposed to be. Jesus Christ is humanity as God designed it. Jesus is the perfect manifestation of what humans are supposed to be. If I return to the definition of icon, another one of its meanings is portrait. Jesus is the perfect portrait and manifestation of human life as God intended. And since the fullness of God dwells permanently in Him, guess what happens if we empty ourselves of our ego and let God's presence fill our lives. Politics may pass laws to maintain our common life together. Medical advances and programs are necessary and wonderful for good physical health. Education is desperately needful if we are to be smarter and hopefully somewhat wiser. Technology and science bring great understanding and innovation to our living. Experiencing different cultures of people around us is a great way to broaden our own horizons, but all of these things combined cannot redeem our world, or it would have happened by now. We can rely on economics and politics and education, science and culture to lift us up, or we can become servants of the divine purpose for creation if we're willing to follow Jesus Christ and let Him be the head that directs the rest of the body. Because in Him, we get all God is and all God has to offer. A woman went into a grocery store and she asked one of the workers there if she could buy half a grapefruit. And the clerk of the store said, "Just a second, I'll go check with the manager." And he walked to the back of the store and he found the manager and he said, "Some crazy woman wants to buy half a grapefruit. Is that okay?" And he realized the woman had followed him back. And as soon as he realized that, he said, "And this gracious woman wants to buy the other half." Well, the store manager thought the clerk did a good job of thinking on his feet. And so after the clerk wrapped up half a grapefruit and gave it to the woman and the woman left, the manager said, "You know, you may have a bright future in this business. By the way, tell me, son, where are you from?" And the clerk said, "I'm from Lancaster, Pennsylvania. That's the home of ugly women and great hockey teams." And the manager looked at him and he said, "My wife is from Lancaster, Pennsylvania." And the clerk said, "Well, what hockey team was she on?" Half of a fruit can be a good thing to have, but half of a gospel is a disaster. That was the problem, one of the problems in the early church. False teachers were traveling around dispensing half a gospel. The false teachers that Paul sought to address here were called Gnostics, a term that meant the intellectual ones. They believed Jesus could not have been God's son because God would not allow himself to be contaminated by this sinful world. That is exactly what God did when he allowed his perfect son, Jesus, to go to a cruel cross and allow the world to put its sin on him. It was there Jesus, in whom the fullness of God dwelt, put sin to death so that it doesn't have to be the controlling force of our lives any longer. All of this I've been trying to say is the mystery of Jesus Christ isn't a principle. The mystery of Jesus Christ isn't a set of rules or regulations. The mystery of Jesus Christ is not a problem to be solved or a set of questions to be answered. The mystery is to be an experience with a person who wants and is so well qualified to live in us and through us. And the opportunity today is your life can be so caught up in Christ's life that your story and God's story become one. They become the same story. Your life and Jesus Christ's life can be so united that the very energy and person of God is at work in you. And that's why I think 1 John 4:15 states, "Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God God abides in him and he in God. I remember years ago going into a jewelry store, pick out an engagement ring, had to get the diamond. I was introduced to this thing called carat cut and quality and ratings like VS1 and VS2, but I was interested because I really wanted to get the right one. You guys know what I'm talking about. But just imagine if you go into the jewelry store and after you found the perfect one, you know what's coming. What's the price? How much is it? Imagine you go in, though, and without having to do all the looking, the manager just comes and says, here is our greatest and best diamond. I know it's priceless, but I just want you to have it. Take it. In a way, that's exactly what God has done for us. It's hard to imagine. It's hard to believe because we don't get deals like that in the real world. But we do with God. It's what God has done in giving us his only Son, in whom the fullness of God permanently dwells and wants to dwell in us. I just hope this morning's passage could be a chance to continue in the faith where we let Jesus Christ be the head of our lives and the head of the church, where, like the head of the body, he controls how it operates and how it works. Amen. This morning, we're going to respond by faith, and I took an excerpt from the Scots Confession this time because it talks about Jesus Christ. But let us respond in faith as we stand and using these words from the Scots Confession declare what we believe. When the fullness of time came, God sent his Son, his eternal wisdom, the substance of his own glory, into this world, who took the nature of humanity from the substance of a woman, a virgin by means of the Holy Spirit, and so was born the just seed of David, the angel of the great counsel of God, the very Messiah promised, whom we confess and acknowledge to be Emmanuel, true God and true man, two perfect natures united and joined in one person. So by our own confession, we condemn the damnable and pestilent heresies of Arius, Marcion, Eutyches, Nestorius, and such others as did either deny the eternity of his Godhead or the truth of his humanity, or confounded them or else divided them. You may be seated. Because we're a people of faith, let us turn to Christ, the head of the church. Let's pray. Lord, as the rains come into some of our neighboring states, we do pray that your salvation would be made known to those who are literally getting flooded by the rising waters, seeing things washed away. We thank you in advance for the many people and the many agencies and the many churches and the great help that will be sent to those in need. But do let that help be abundant. And as we pray for those who might be in harm's way, we pray for ourselves and people anywhere that are overwhelmed and find themselves flooded with trying circumstance. But we thank you for those times where we've seen you heal those in those situations that are sick, that you've encouraged those that were down, and you lifted up those and brought into communion the people that were lonely. We also rejoice that there were many times you called us into those situations to be your hands that held, or your feet that carried to them a message of good news, words of great hope. And we thank you most of all for Jesus, who did that for us, who has given us the gospel of salvation, the good news of your redemption, the story and the demonstration of your love at work in our world so that it can become a part of our everyday living. Our prayer this morning is that we would just really let you have control of our lives. And if we don't know the way, we would look to you, even if we have to do it step by step, to show us the way. Because we know you will guide and provide like you've always done. So by the presence of your Holy Spirit, lift our faith, make it strong, not only so that we can follow you, but we can invite and encourage others to join us along the way. Do be with our church, guide and direct it as we look to you in all things and for all things. And as we come to you now praying the way in which Jesus taught us by praying together, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. All right, we'll take our last request. We're going out hymn. I'm going to give this one to Mary. 525. Let's stand and let's go out singing hymn 525. As you go forth to serve the Lord as you rejoice in the presence and power of His Holy Spirit, now and always. Amen.